Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Randy.
And I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And this week, we're going to do something very different. We're going to play in the world of artificial intelligence.
It's taking over, guys.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence is taking over our world.
Skynet?
It's coming.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen, I was in Las Vegas a little while ago. I was a keynote speaker at a drone conference.
Whoa.
It was really cool. It was super cool. You know, when you go to these conferences, there's always a lot of technical sessions, there's keynote sessions, there's all sorts of stuff, but then there's usually the expo floor where you get to see the tech, the products, the services, meet with vendors and stuff like that. Guys, I'm just telling you, I saw things on the expo floor that Skynet's coming. It's coming. And if we keep kicking those robots over because we think it's funny to like watch them get back up, they're going to remember it. I'm telling you, they're going to remember. Be nice to the robots.
Be kind to your robots. Remember to spade and neuter your robots.
So where do you guys fall on the side of this advancement in AI? And
I'm 100% for it.
Are you? You're 100%.
Yeah, 100% for it. I think that our issue now, we need to be careful. And I think we need to be deliberate. You know, we were talking a little bit just for a second before we started about ChatGPT, which we'll focus here heavily in a few minutes. But, you know, ChatGPT is really, it's got its own limitations, but it's only as good as the prompt you put in the first place. I've played with it a lot, but I'm because there are opportunities for us to work smarter, not harder this way. You know, I've kind of made a career out of being a semi-decent speaker, author. You know, I have a way with words in some instances, but it takes a little while to really craft something and put it out there before you're ready to publish it. And that can include anything from as simple as a memo to your staff or something like that. I started using ChatGPT to help me with some of these things in the last few months, and it is able to spit out a better first draft in 15 seconds than usually takes me half an hour to an hour to do. And then I can just go back and I can put the flair that I need to, but it's just about working smarter and not harder. So that's why I'm for it, because I think when you use it the right way, when you embrace what it's there and able and capable of doing, it makes what you do better. It doesn't make what you do obsolete. It just elevates you to the next phase of it.
And I think that's where I kind of wanted to go today with this episode, is that I was thinking just the other day about AI. And I saw a report. It was just a headline. Police departments are using AI to help officers write their police reports. And the tagline was, is this infringing upon a person's rights if an officer is using this technology and not 100% the officer's own words, but getting this artificial intelligent help? Where is that line there? Anyway, the episode's not about that, but it just got me thinking about, all right, let's talk about AI and how, really, I was like, hey, can AI plan a Walt Disney World vacation for me? I kind of wanted to see what it would do. How close is it going to get?
Here's the teaser.
Yeah.
The answer is yes, it can plan one for
you.
The question is it going to be any good?
Okay.
And my suspicion is, and again, I go back to it, I said, it's really, first of all, it will only be as good as the prompt we put together for it, and that's okay. But second of all, my suspicion is, the answer is no, it's probably not really very good. And this isn't just because I'm trying to plug the fact that Dak and my wife are both travel agents who do this for a living, but it's exactly because Dak and my wife are travel agents who do this sort of a thing, because their experience in how this actually works in the real world is something the AI is unable to recreate. It simply doesn't have the data available to itself to understand what an experience with a tired 5-year-old is going to look like at a certain point in a certain park at a certain day. It's unable to understand that the asphalt at Animal Kingdom is 7,000 degrees hotter than any other park for some reason. I don't know what it is, right? So I'm excited. I think this will be great to see kind of what it does.
Okay, so actually last night I did input. Let me turn my mic a little bit this way. Yeah, so I've got this for our listeners. I'm actually showing this to the guys here on my TV. So where's my prompt here? So what I did is I asked AI or ChatGPT to create a Walt Disney World. All right, so please create a Walt Disney World four-day itinerary with time frames, three dining reservations, and one tour. Now, Randy already mentioned it. This is only going to be as good as the prompt, right? This is a very basic prompt.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Probably as basic as we can get. Okay, so let's redo this here because I was not impressed with what it spit out yesterday. Pretty mundane and pretty ordinary. So here, let's refresh this. And this is great podcast stuff right here because everybody can see it.
Yeah, I was going to say we could stick with that as well. I know it's not the best prompt, but it at least gets us an outline of what you're looking at.
Okay, so let's just say, for example, somebody came, opened up their computer, and said, hey, just plan me a Walt Disney World trip. Let's just have that as a starting point.
Yeah, but here's your limitation, right? You haven't even told the computer who you are, right? Are you an individual? Are you a family of four? Do you have any sport of special needs or accommodations? You say, yeah, just spit it out there. You're going to get whatever you kind of get. And that's where I say, you know, the prompt matters, right?
Okay, so sure. Let's add. So I am a family of four?
Yeah, so tell us, you are a family of four. So you're going to, no, instruct it. Start with that. You are a family of four.
So I physically type, you are a family of four?
You are a family of four, period.
This is good. Good podcast.
You are a family of four. All right.
Yep. So. Let's say mother, father, two teenage children.
Mother, father, two teenage kids.
Okay. Period. Well, no, not.
All right. So I hate. Well, here we go.
Oh,
okay.
It is. I see. It's using your previous.
It's just added on to what I had previously typed in.
So now, see, look at this. Creating a memorable four-day Walt Disney World itinerary for a family of four comprising parents and two teenagers. So already now it's saying, oh, I'm taking this into account.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It requires a blend of thrilling attractions, engaging experiences, and quality dining, blah, blah, blah. This itinerary is tailored to suit teenage interests. While ensuring the entire family enjoys their magical vacation, includes specific time frames, additional activities, three dining reservations, and one exclusive tour for 2024. Utilizing Disney Genie Plus.
So you know already, ChatGPT's information is out of date.
That's true. Okay.
And I would say, so my caveat to this is that some families are, well, again, here's the rub, right, that we're getting at is this is totally... We're basing this on where we are in our lives at this point, right, as parents of older teenage kids, whereas someone may put this in and say, hey, I have a 5 and an 8-year-old, and ChatGPT is going to spit out a totally different, well, maybe not totally, but a different scenario
It would be, right, if you say, hey, you know, you're a family of four, and I have an 8-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl, or a 4-year-old girl, even better, right?
Yeah.
And you say the 8-year-old boy is 41 inches tall. The 4-year-old girl is 32 inches tall, right? You're going to get different results as a result of
whatever. Yeah, you can be as specific as you need to be.
And so the more data that you feed the machine, the better it's going to get. Having said that, that's exactly what Skynet will do. And Skynet will use that against you later on when it steals the nuclear codes.
Yeah.
But... regardless, later, we're just going to see, and I'm already just kind of looking at it. This is where you need your travel agent. Your experienced individual to come in and help refine it.
Well, you know, and what I found interesting yesterday is that I ran this about two or three times, again, with some very basic parameters, and it spit out the same park order, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood, and Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Every single time. I'm not sure why it would do that. Why? Because without telling it,
I want
to go to Magic Kingdom first.
I'll tell you why. Because if you go to Disney's website and you look at the parks, that's the order that they're traditionally listed
sure.
in.
Yeah, they're so going to put their...
It's just following out there. It's crowdsourcing information, basically, yeah. that's available to it.
And, I mean, look, Disney, ChatGPT, all of that, they're going to put their best foot forward first. And I don't have a problem with starting off at Magic Kingdom.
Who is they?
They, them. They, the Skynet. Okay. Them.
Okay.
It's okay to refer to Skynet. I mean, that's a James Cameron property, okay. and, okay. you know, he's yeah. the Avatar guy, okay. and he's incorporated.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's,
okay.
eventually, the next thing we're going to have at Hollywood Studios is Terminator Land.
Yeah, so when I,
that'd be pretty
you know,
cool, actually.
Yeah,
put on the tinfoil cool. hat yeah, and cool. I say that I'm being watched, it's them that are doing No, so in all seriousness, I think I would advise, again, as a travel agent, I would advise if you have a family, either bookending, which is what I would prefer to do, but I would always start with Magic Kingdom. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but there's something about going to Disney World and experiencing Main Street and the castle right off the bat, because if you've never been before, let's just say that, if you've never been to Disney World before, and the very first day that you get there, I think seeing the castle does something to your psyche and to your, like, okay, we're here. We are at Disney World because I'm seeing the castle. I'm seeing, you know, Magic Kingdom and all that it is. And it just helps solidify that, like, you are in the most magical place on earth, right? Like, I think if you went to Hollywood or Epcot even, definitely Animal Kingdom, you might lose a little bit of that shine of the Disney mystique.
So you're already...
Again, if you've never been, that's what I'm saying. I'm premising this by saying,
yeah.
if you've never been to Disney World and you're a... To use your example, you're a five-year-old little girl and you walk in and you see a big tree at Animal Kingdom, you might be like, wait, what? Where's Belle? Where's Ariel?
Well, I think your point there is, again, this is contextual to the use of the AI here in the first place, right? It might be your very first time going, but if you're really going because you're a Star Wars fan, the castle maybe is just icing. You're really excited about seeing the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
I think there's context that kind of goes into it. Again, that's part of what you have to feed it if it's going to work. But let's talk about this itinerary, because I keep seeing it up here on the screen and it's bothering me.
So day one, Ryan, if it's okay, I'll just kind of read this out for the listeners. Day one, it's saying you're starting off your day at the Magic Kingdom. You're waking up at your Disney resort if you're staying on site. Which allows you to have some extra magic hours. So they're saying get there at 8 a.m. for a rope drop. Again, we've talked about what rope drop is. You're literally there before the park opens, and then they open it up.
So
we're gonna pause right here.
What's the first problem we've already spotted? Who said the park's opening at 8 o'clock? I mean, again, do you see the issues that you run into? Yeah. The park hours vary every single day.
True.
Every single day. And there's all sorts of things that happen and are going to go on. No matter how specific you get with something like ChatGPT and generative AI, it has a very limited data set upon which it can draw. It does not have access to current Disney park hours. It's not connected to their systems to feed into that. So you could even tell it what days you're going. You could give it a specific calendar time. It's not going to have the information in there to say, oh, by the way, I can see that on, you know, June 11th, Magic Kingdom actually opens at 10 a.m., which, by the way, is when it typically opens, is 10 or sometimes 9. It opens then so that, you know, if you show up at 7:30 on a day when the park doesn't open till 10, you're not going to be super happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. As of the date of this recording, it's opening at 9 today, which is.
Well, and I would say again, we've gone back and forth on this as far as to rope drop or not rope drop. I think again, that's where the personal touch, kind of like what we talked about earlier on in the show, is you have to know your audience, right? And by your audience, I mean your family members. Again, we've set this one up for teenagers. I think teenagers could handle what I think we're going to see here, which is a open to close itinerary. You have a 5-year-old and you try to open to close them, you're in for a world of hurt come around 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Sure.
Because you're going to hit a wall. You are, your children are, and that's going to be a tough, you know, tough day for you, especially in Magic Kingdom, which is, you know, one of the largest parks of the four parks. But anyways, let's keep going. So they 8:15 now, the park has opened is what they're assuming. You're going to start your day off by going to Seven Dwarfs.
So 8:15 to 10:30 a.m., right?
Yeah.
They call this your thrilling attractions portion.
So starting off with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, then heading over to Space Mountain, then finishing up at Big Thunder Mountain. It's just kind of, I mean, we don't have to like go into deep dive detail on all of these things. Anything you would change or?
I wouldn't change it. I just don't think you can do all three of these in 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, I think you can.
Well, no, if you have, so it's saying here that you get the Lightning Lane for Seven Dwarfs.
Well, hold on. This is where, again, okay. Let's make sure that we're getting the facts in there, right? It says use Lightning Lane via Genie Plus or individual purchase. By the way, that's not possible.
Yeah.
You can only get it via individual Lightning Lane. And of course, like I said, this thing hasn't caught up to the fact that there's not a Genie Plus anymore. Now it's Lightning Lane Multipass.
Which, so, I'm a little surprised it has not caught up with
this.
Well,
I'm not. No one's fed the machine yet. So in order for it to get it, someone has to actually feed this information in there to figure it out. So it's basically been able to take a bunch of information that's already out there.
Somebody's got to feed the information?
Yeah, someone's got to feed it out there. So,
well, I'll feed it. Where do I feed it?
Now, you know, so know this. If you're going to say, hey, ChatGPT put together an itinerary for me, you're going to get some information that's not even necessarily wrong. First, I was saying, hey, it's limited because it doesn't know what time the park opens. Now I'm telling you, it's just straight wrong. Because it's suggesting that you could do something that you actually cannot do, which is to get on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train with a Lightning Lane multipass.
Okay.
The other thing I would add here is you're bouncing all over Magic Kingdom. So you better have on some good shoes, because to go from Seven Dwarfs to Space and then all the way across to Big Thunder is going to be a hike.
Yeah, especially when you look at the next time frame, which is this mid-morning 10:30 to 11:30, they put you right back into Tomorrowland doing the People Mover and Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. If you're already over there for Space Mountain, you might as well just do these other two while you're there, as opposed to crisscrossing back and forth. So,
agreed. I think this is a good point to kind of insert of like, listen, everyone, especially if this is some of your first few times going, you have to have a plan.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you've been 30 times, you know, multiple times, we'll say that, right? Then in your mind, you already kind of know, okay, we have our flow and this is how we do the parks. So I'm a big proponent of this, right? Mm-hmm. The three of us sitting here at the table, we all do Disney a little bit differently, and we definitely do it differently as families, are each of our individual families, and we definitely do it differently as a guys trip. And so again, knowing what your families are and so forth, I would just say ChatGPT or AI or whatever it is that you're using, even if you're using a travel agent, your travel agent is only going to be as good as the data you give them as well, right? If you don't share with your travel agent that, hey, we have children that aren't fast moving, we're in strollers, we're good at going at a slower pace. All of these things are going to feed into what your Disney experience is going to be. Kind of going back to our theme, our tagline, which is managing expectations, right? Like, all of these expectations have to be fed into the machine, whatever that machine is, whether it's Skynet, whether it's your travel agent. You got to have a plan going into how you're going to do Disney. But let's keep going here. Sorry.
And let me just add one note to this. To both of your points, you need a good travel agent if you're going to go that route that knows the parks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, ChatGPT does not know the parks.
Yeah, it's clear.
It's clear. Yeah. Although I'm not, I'm actually okay with what where they have us eating lunch.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good suggestion. Yeah. Lunch from noon to 1 o'clock, quick service lunch at the Columbia Harbor House, the CHH.
Taking a ride on the CHH. Yeah.
Where you can enjoy a variety of seafood sandwiches and salads in a relaxed setting. That is 100% accurate.
Yep. That is good.
100% support.
Good job, ChatGPT. Good job. You got it.
All right, so our afternoon, 1 to 3, we're doing adventure and exploration. So pirates, jungle cruise, haunted mansion. I'm good with all of those.
Yep.
They're all relatively in the same area. You're not bouncing all over like you were in the morning. They're all good rides to ride probably after a lunch, right? You're not going to upset your tummies. So you're good. I'm good with that. That's a great afternoon, I think.
I think... trying to now, so earlier we were saying we weren't sure you could get those top three in 2.5 hours. That could be true. I do think that these three in 2 hours actually could be tougher without the use of Lightning Lane Multipass. Jungle 100%. Cruise and Haunted Mansion of late have had excruciatingly long lines. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, in a lot of instances, they're almost an hour wait in some times. So, you know, that could be a little bit of a stretch, but it's possible. Now, I do like the next suggestion that it's got on here. I think this is an important part of your experience. Whether it fits in exactly in this part of the day, I don't know, but...
Yeah, so 3 to 4:30, we got shopping and snacks. So you're going to take a little, I would call it a semi-break. You're not actively sitting down and just not doing anything, but you're exploring shops along Main Street for souvenirs. And then you're grabbing a famous Dole Whip at the Aloha Isle.
Yeah, I don't need an hour and a half to do that, which is what it's calling for here.
Yeah,
I can spend 30 to 45 minutes and accomplish all of that easily. Okay. Maybe not you, Dak, because I know you like your souvenirs.
I do. So I'm a big, again, this is just, we're continuing to say the same thing over and over again, but understand what you want to do on your Disney vacation. For some people, going through the shops and looking at all of the different souvenirs is just as fun as hitting Space Mountain, right? So understanding that, I don't know anyone who would fight you on going to Aloha Isle and getting a Dole Whip. I think that's a
no
Disney standard.
You know, some people don't like or can't have pineapple. So if that's
there you go.
If Aloha Isle doesn't work for you, then you go over to Sunshine Tree Terrace,
yeah.
Right? And you can get a different flavor of things. That's okay. But great suggestions there, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so then for dinner, you're now 6 to 7:30. So interesting, there's a little hour and a half break in there that ChatGPT just...
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing.
I don't know.
You figure it out. So yeah, from
you know where you're not going.
Six,
you're not going to Tom Sawyer's Island.
Yeah, that's right. So 6 to 7, they got you at Be Our Guest Restaurant.
Now read the prompt there, because I think actually again this is one where I think ChatGPT does a good job. It says dine in the Beast's Enchanted Castle with French inspired cuisine, and here's the important part: reservations are essential and should be booked well in advance. That word essential is not optional. Like you do have to have an advanced dining reservation to get there. It will be nearly impossible to get in without one.
100% agree. I have no problem with this other than, we've talked about our feelings on Be Our Guest food versus ambiance, and ambiance wins out here. So anyways, let's move on. So your evening hours now from 7:30 to 9:00. They have you down at Happily Ever After Fireworks Show. Secure a prime viewing spot on Main Street, USA.
So it's interesting that it does make a note that you need to secure your prime spot. I don't think you need to get there an hour and a half early to do that.
No, and in fact, we've shared tips recently where I know how to walk up about 20 minutes before the show and get pretty much where I want to go. There's more room out there than you think, but you do need to secure a spot. If you don't know this, so we're back to, do we let the computer tell us what to do, or do you need to rely on someone who's got expertise? You need expertise here, because that's an hour and a half that you would be down just sitting around, which, by the way, is what most people do. right? We see them out there. They'll get out there really early, a couple hours in advance of the fireworks show. And the reality is, you know, pro tips will tell you, you don't have to quite do it that way. You could go do and enjoy other things in the park still.
And going back to your, I think it was you that said this, Randy. If you look, no, maybe it was that. If you look at, so from 4:30 when we ended the shopping and snack all the way to 9 o'clock, we've done one thing, which is eat dinner.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time there that ChatGPT did not account for in terms of giving us attractions or a show or something to look at for, you know, what's that, 4.5 hours?
Yeah.
Other than the dinner?
Yeah. Remember, yeah. And we'll kind of close this out here as we finish talking about, you know, this Magic Kingdom itinerary. But remember, we said, hey, we've got two teenagers who want to do some, you know, they want to do teenager sorts of things. There's a lot missing from a day at Magic Kingdom here.
So one glaring thing, and this kind of maybe ages this ChatGPT data, is there's no Tron on here.
Tron's nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tron's nowhere to be found. I mean, you know, I will say this. It does a good job. It didn't put Dumbo on there.
There's no Carousel of Progress.
Carousel. Didn't put the Carousel, right? It's not just Carousel Project, but Prince Charming's Regal Carousel, whatever it's called. It didn't put a Small World or the Flying Carpets, things that you would think the smaller children would gravitate towards. But it also didn't suggest that those were possibilities either.
Yeah.
So if you're going to sit back and you're going to rely on this, you're going to get there to the park and say, oh, but what are all of these other things?
Okay. All right, let's go on to day two.
Yeah, day two. I'll go ahead and keep narrating here for us, if that's okay with you guys. So we're at Epcot. 8 a.m. to 8:30, you got your arrive early at Epcot, get checked in, and then they're starting us off at 8:30 at Remy's Ratatouille Adventure in the French Pavilion. Then you run over to Test Track into Future World, and then Soarin' Around the World. That is your 8:30 to 11:30 time slots.
When did Ratatouille's open up?
It's been a couple of years now, I think, right?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
Okay.
My thing again here is same complaint I had before with starting off the day at Magic Kingdom, that if you are not familiar with the layout of Epcot and the World Showcase, you are tracking a lot of steps in that 8:30 to 11:30 time slot going from Remy's to Test Track to Soarin'. I mean, you're basically creating a gigantic triangle through all of Epcot. Yeah. Those three,
unless you're coming in from the other entrance,
even if you do, I mean, okay, so we're back to, we have a factual inaccuracy here, right? Ratatouille is not available for an individual purchase.
Oh yeah, I missed that.
So the only attraction at Epcot that is Guardians of the Galaxy, which I'm waiting to see where that's going to fit into our itinerary. Maybe it does not.
I'm gonna guess that this data is old and doesn't have Guardians there. Anyways, let's keep going. So mid-morning, now you're in the Land Pavilion. You're walking through the Land Pavilion gardens and interactive exhibits.
Well, so let's know first that we're already in the land because we're in Soarin' Around the World. That was our last attraction. So we're already in the Land Pavilion. But what do we... I'm not aware of any interactive exhibits.
Well, there's the aquarium stuff in there.
Isn't that the seas?
That's the seas.
So I think the land.
We're at the land.
The land. Well, so there's
you
land.
You have the attraction itself.
It's
and then around it, there's, like, depending on when you're there, Flower and Garden, there's like butterfly pavilions
there's
a few things, but
pretty sure there's some aquarium-ish looking stuff there.
They had a Ghirardelli exhibit a while back.
I could do some exploring in a Ghirardelli exhibit.
Bet you could.
All right.
I'm not a fan of this.
And
next
then lunch,
one.
They have, Randy's going to fact check us on our aquariums. At lunch, they have you staying in the Land Pavilion at Sunshine Seasons.
Yeah, I'm a hard pass on this.
Yes. 1,000%.
This is a quick service in the Land Pavilion. I think if you want to talk about.
I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would go over to the seas because you're so close to the seas.
Yeah, yeah, you are close to the seas.
It's go, right next door.
Go yeah, see yeah, the yeah. aquarium, yeah.
So, if we, Ryan, can you scroll back up? I would actually do this in reverse. So what I mean by that is start with Soren, maybe head over to Test Track. If you're saying you're locked into these three as your first three rides, I would start with Soren or maybe start with Test Track and go Soren and then to Remy's. Because for lunch, I want to end up in the French pavilion versus the land pavilion.
Listen, I mean, you can just throw it out. I'm never. You can tell me eat at Sunshine Seasons.
No,
I'm
you might out. As well just that is, serve me a plate of hot vomit.
Yeah,
and
look, you're talking about, in my opinion, you're now at the park with the premier food options, the most food options you'll find at any park. The most diversity in food options, and you're going to tell me to go eat some nasty, you know, pre-made sandwich out of a refrigerator over at Sunshine
yeah,
Seasons.
Yeah, if you want your chicken tenders, this is where you get your freaking chicken tenders.
Yeah. Like, gross.
Yeah, like, disgusting.
No, we're going to go explore something. You don't even know what Epcot is, ChatGPT.
Somebody yeah. fed this into the system, right?
Someone had to have. But yeah, I mean, if we were to do an episode on our not so top 10 quick service locations. Oh, this would have to be.
That's going
to
do that.
That's going to be a good
that's
episode.
A good episode.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. We'll have
It'll
to
be the
put
most
that
negative
together.
Episode.
It would be, but I have to admit that Sunshine Seasons would probably be on that list of not so top
it's
10.
It's up there with Pinocchio House now. And
yeah. So let's keep going. Let's keep going. So afternoon, they have World Showcase Exploration. So you're starting off in Mexico now at the Gran Fiesta Tour, starring the three Caballeros. Then you head over to
Caballeros. Yes.
Head over to Frozen Ever After in Norway. And then they're just having you explore different country pavilions, meet and greet characters there in Italy. So that's your 1 to 3.
Character. So saying... participate in activities like the character and vehicle spot in Italy.
This is the point where it's forgot what it's doing.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Again, not really impressed with ChatGPT here.
Oh,
and
keep
the AI.
Going. Oh, keep going. Remember,
oh, it's still going. I'm
we
sorry.
Got,
I'm,
we got
I apologize.
Two teenagers.
Yes. Yeah. So then from 3 to 4:30, unique experiences. You're going over to the American Adventure, engaging in inspiring show with
so this,
patriotic themes.
This would be the Voices of Liberty, right?
Yes, yeah.
It wants us to spend an hour and a half
which,
at the
which
American
I think
Pavilion.
The Voices of Liberty is great.
It is.
But your two teenagers are likely to not be super impressed.
All right, so let's just revamp our whole World Showcase exploration. So again, in our opinion, which now I'm seeing it later, they're showing the snack break at Les Halles Boulangerie Patisserie. Did I hit that right for you guys?
Le boulangerie pâtisserie.
Le boulangerie pâtisserie.
So, again, I wouldn't just have a dessert or a snack break there. I would have had my lunch there. So,
and the, yeah, they had the snack break way too close to dinner.
Yeah.
Like right before dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's have some snacks and French pastries right before we head over to dinner. Let's revamp this, guys. So, we ended our morning in the French Pavilion with Ratatouilles. So you're there. You grab some Les Halles Boulanger. And I hate that you guys make me say this word.
Say it, Deck.
You
say
grab
it.
Some
use your words.
Les Halles, right? Les Halles. Where are you going after that? So we're in the World Showcase. Are you just going to loop kind of... I don't know why, because I guess because
what's
I always start
my
Mexico.
Mission? What's my mission? What am I trying to do?
That's, you're going
to
explore the World Showcase.
I'm exploring the World Showcase. I'm going in order.
Yep. Yeah. So you're going to go, I call it reverse, but it's not really reverse.
Yeah,
because I start Mexico, I consider it reverse because I'm going the back way from France to Morocco to,
yeah,
you know, American Pavilion on through to Italy, Germany. I'm going to get them
Norway.
Out of order. Yeah. China. What specific
Japan.
Stops would you make? Just at the attractions or are
I'm,
there?
I'm doing, so yeah, I'm going to go, like, think, Randy, I'm just going to, if I'm in France, I'm going to head, I'm going to walk out of France and go right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Japan, Italy, Germany, go around that way. And then I will hit Tres Caballeros. I'll hit Frozen Ever After. Yes. I'll hit, you know, the...
Look, I'm going to have some snacks along the way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I get to Italy. I'm going to get some gelato.
What are you going
right
to get
there.
In Germany?
In Germany, I'm going to go to the...
There we go.
Caramel Kuchen. And I'm going to have my caramel apple oatmeal cookie. Most delicious thing they've got there. Or a nice square of Werther's caramels. You know, there's lots of things you're able to do as you're getting along the way. You finally get over to Norway. You know, Dak, you love the school bread, right?
Yes.
You know, you're going to get some of that. So you can see that each of these countries are unique. There's some things to see there. They've got some great shops. Every single country has some shops where you can get cultural items. Some cases they're Disney inspired. Sometimes they're not, but cultural items. You know, Germany's got a great Christmas shop there, right?
Yeah.
Norway, the same thing, where you can see some things. You know, but Germany's got the crystal and everything. I would see those things as I'm headed along the World Showcase that direction. Remember, this is a trip with two teenagers. There's only three attractions in the World Showcase from a thrill, from a ride perspective, right? You're in France, you've got Norway, and you've got Mexico.
Yeah.
No other rides there, right? Am I missing any? No rides.
No.
Nope.
There's France. Shows.
Yeah.
There's productions. There's videos, but no more rides.
Yeah, I would say, just to kind of wrap this time slot up, the World Showcase is too great to limit it to just one or two experiences. There's so many things to enjoy.
You
there.
Have to
There's
see
so many
it
foods.
All.
You got to just kind of make your way around and enjoy the World Showcase.
Which they
Don't
give
rush
the,
it.
This ChatGPT gives you the time. It gives you from 1 to 4:30 really to explore which is enough time.
I agree.
Yeah.
Just different locations
different
and activities in order.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got dinner reservations at Le Cellier Steakhouse in the Canadian. I botched it again.
It's okay, Dick.
It's all right. I've never been to this. I've heard great things.
I've heard great things, but they say, yeah, I've not been there.
I've heard it's one of the better steaks on property.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
got
that's
no problem with this.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful pavilion.
It is.
Yeah.
And then for our nighttime spectacular, we have Harmonious.
No, you do not.
So it's got us down. Again, this is where having an experienced friend, travel agent, whatever you want to call it.
Or even just looking at the website.
Yeah. Or just, just pulling up.
And again, I don't know why it's devoting so much time. So again, 7:30 to 9 p.m.
Too much time there. You got tons of viewing spaces all around the World Showcase to see Harmonious or whatever evening show is going on
Luminous.
There. Luminous, yeah. So just...
Don't bother.
Yeah. Whoa. I would say... Here's
Again,
what I would
this
do.
This is where you need your travel agent.
Yeah, I would skip this. I would go over to
Frozen.
I was going to say Moana. I would experience Moana at night. I think that's a really fun experience.
I would agree.
It is fun to experience at night, but there's some limitation. Again, we're back to why do you need someone experienced who can help you figure this sort of thing out?
Yeah.
Experience matters. You know, Moana at night. Two big things. One, it's hard to see what you're doing. It's beautiful, but it's hard to see what you're doing. Two, because it's a water attraction, the combination of humidity and water makes it a very foggy experience.
That's true.
So it's extra hard to see. So I don't know. But realistically, when people are out there and they all go out to watch whatever the nighttime spectacular is, that's when you go and get on Frozen. The queue practically empties out. You can get in there really quickly. You can avoid what is one of the longer lines in the park during the day, and you can experience it that way.
Nice. I love it. And then it just has us closing out the evening with attractions and shopping, so that kind of hits to your point, Randy. The only other thing I would say is now with the way that Spaceship Earth is lit up at night and the music and the ambiance that they have around all of Spaceship Earth, that's a must do for me.
Yeah, they didn't even put it on there.
Yeah.
It's not on there. Yeah. The attraction or actually just the outside observation, which has its own show, really. You don't know that until you get closer and you can hear the music that goes with the LED show. But look, we're missing some major, major things off of this, obviously. You know, clearly
no
it's
Guardians.
Not up to date. There's no Guardians on here. You know, we're missing Nemo and the...
There you go. Yeah, so they have us ending out the night with just attractions and shopping, which kind of alludes to what you were talking about, Randy. But I agree. I think there's too much here that got missed. that Epcot has to offer. And so, again, this is where having an experienced advisor, we'll call it that, whether it's a travel agent or just someone who's been multiple times, might be able to guide you. All right. We're kind of running a little long here, so let's speed it up. Right. Yeah. So day three, they have you at Animal Kingdom. You know what? One thing we haven't talked about here is what days of the week we're talking about. I think that has a serious play on some of these.
Well, that's what I was saying from the very beginning. You don't have enough information here to really know what this means.
Yeah. All right. Let's start off our Animal Kingdom day. So this morning is going to start off at 7:30 to 8 for your arrival time. Again, I'll just throw a quick pitch in. These open to close park days are going to be tough. If you don't have the right dynamics within your family, opening and closing every single day, you're putting in, you know, you're hitting Randy numbers of 20, 25,000 steps in a day. So
that's a light day for me, yeah. Boys.
All right. So 8 to 11 is your World of Avatar. So we just did our World of Avatar, 8 things we love the most. So let's see how they did. So first, they're going to start you off with Avatar Flight of Passage, Navi River Journey, and Explore Pandora's Scenic
Areas. So they're banking on that you're going to be waiting in line for 3 hours.
But they're not, because they told you to
that's
buy
true.
It via
oh, that's
individual
right. Use Lightning
purchase,
Lane
so
via individual purchase.
Now, the Navi River Journey does tend to... Well, I would not say that. but it's one that's worth having a Lightning Lane multi-pass for. I mean, I think it's a charming ride. It's not a thrill attraction, but it's a charming ride. You see some really cool stuff. It really does help you immerse yourself into the world of Avatar there. But 3 hours for Pandora, if you do have your Lightning Lane, individual Lightning Lane for Flight of Passage, you're not going to need that much time there.
Yeah,
no, not at all.
So your mid-morning then becomes Kilimanjaro Safaris and Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail. Listen, guys, in my opinion, you flip-flop these two activities.
Yeah.
I think you start the day
with
the safari. The animals are way more active. The weather's cooler. You're going to enjoy that a lot more, especially if you have that Lightning Lane for Animal Kingdom, Pandora. So once we flip-flop those, now we're having lunch, which this would make sense with our flip-flop, right? So you're going to have lunch at, here we go, Satuli Canteen.
Genius.
In Pandora.
Yep.
Okay.
With your customizable bowls and international flavors and fresh ingredients. So, again, I think we just flip-flop these two activities, and I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
Our afternoon then becomes our thrill and adventure, which is Expedition Everest, Dinosaur, Cali River Rapids, Prepare to Get Wet. I like how it added that in there. So good on that.
And so I wonder if it would still suggest that if you were to adjust the prompt to say we are going in the wintertime.
Maybe.
If it would still had that.
Yeah, maybe.
Good point.
I would say it's dead on. Prepare to get wet if you get on Cali River Rapids. Yeah. You are going to get wet. 3 to 4, so our afternoon is more shows and exploration. So they're kind of winding things down a little bit. You got the Maharaj Jungle Trek, where you'll see some tigers. Festival of the Lion King, Finding Nemo.
You can't
musical.
Do all that in an hour and a half.
No.
Yeah, that's you're zigzagging
at,
a little bit there,
so,
and
so
those
actually,
are longer
Festival
shows.
Festival of the Lion King, I mean, each of those are about a 30-minute show almost.
With wait, for sure.
Well, with wait, even longer.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just not going to get that done.
So I would say choose one or the other. Either The Lion King or Finding Nemo, the musical.
No, just choose The Lion King.
And again,
Finding Nemo, the musical sucks.
So, yeah, it would be 98
Lion King. Of all the shows that Disney World, Finding Nemo, the musical, is the one that we walked out on.
Not so top 10.
Yeah.
Maharaj, I think that's enjoyable. Oh, yeah.
Oh. For sure.
All right. The show's so good that it's not even there anymore.
Here's our tour. This is interesting. So this is what tour they chose for us to go on, because we put that as part of our data entry.
That's right.
The Wild Africa Trek, which is an exclusive guided safari tour offering behind-the-scenes access to Animal Kingdom's wildlife and natural habitats.
I'd be shocked. That time frame is...
I think it's too late.
It's too late. You can't do that time frame. But the fact that it included is pretty cool. A travel agent would say do this probably in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would say that's a wonderful tour. well worth doing if your family is into wildlife and animals and all that stuff. I don't know that that would be my out of the gate first choice tour of a guided tour that I would do at Disney World.
Never done it.
Yeah. All right. And then dinner, we're going to end the night with Tiffin's. Got problem there.
Yeah, no, we do have problems. The park's closed. 7 o'clock p.m. Animal Kingdom's closed.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is Animal Kingdom is going to close between 7 and 8, depending on the night. So you'd obviously want to check that.
As of the date of this recording, it closes at 7.
There you go. Now, here's the thing, though, guys. You can book a dinner that may run into the park closing. In fact, I would pro tip that on to do it and experience it. There's nothing like walking out of a Disney park at night after the park is closed and a lot of the people have left. So I got no problem with that, but I think it's unrealistic to say your dinner is going to start at 7 if the park closes at 7. What I'm saying is your dinner would probably start at 6:30.
Yeah.
And you'd run into 7:30.
It's probably the last time frame is 30 minutes before park closes, yeah.
And then for the nightcap or the nighttime experience, they have you watching Tree of Life Awakenings as you're leaving the park. So I would agree with that as well. If you've never done the Tree of Life Awakenings, that's a pretty cool experience. Again, if it's dark and if it's happening. But that's going to be subject to when the park actually closes. We good with that?
Yeah, I want to look and see here.
Yeah, I would say overall, not a bad job with Animal Kingdom.
The latest reservations you could possibly book for a restaurant at Animal Kingdom and like at Tiffin's for the next 3 months is 5:30.
Really? Mm. Wow. Okay. So yeah, if I was going to use a late evening reservation, I would personally save it for Magic Kingdom.
Well, and that could be because maybe there's limited availability, but sure. I just don't think you're going to get reservations that late.
Yeah, so. Not at Animal. Okay, here we go. Our last day.
There's no way.
So we're at Hollywood Studios.
Ryan is already
poo-pooing this, ChatGPT. When Skynet breaks loose, they're coming to Ryan's house first. All right, let's start off in the morning.
I'm gonna give a piece of mine too, when they do.
It has us again doing a rope drop, and then our first recommended activities is Galaxy's Edge Adventures, starting off with Rise of the Resistance, Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, and then just for good measure, they throw in Slinky Dog Dash and Toy Story Mania. They have this from 8 to 11 a.m. They do recommend an individual Lightning Lane purchase for Rise to help with that, as well as Genie Plus Lightning Lane for Slinky Dog. Guys, 3 hours to do 4 of the most popular rides. Not just the most popular, the 4 most popular rides at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, you're not doing that 3 hours.
Almost impossible. I don't want to say impossible, but boy, things have got to go really, really right for you to get all 4
of those in. I would say, and this is just me, so yeah, you rope drop, because now Rise is a standby, so you rope drop. I say you probably rope drops Rise.
Nope.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Get you a Lightning Lane for...
You rope drop Slinky.
That's a better answer.
You rope drop Slinky. The queue is terrible.
Yeah.
You hit Rise in the last 10 minutes of the park being open. Yeah. That's when you go get in the queue for Rise.
I was thinking just within the confines of this time frame. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Don't listen to what I say.
So you're bumping Rise all the way to the evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. By the way,
Galaxy's Edge at night.
My favorite part of Galaxy's Edge is Galaxy's Edge at night. Yeah. I prefer it then.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's really hot during the day. There's not a ton of shade. It's really open. I mean, there's not a lot of shade anywhere at Hollywood Studios. So, you know, take advantage of it. I hit Galaxy's Edge at nighttime. I think it looks better. I think it looks cooler. By the way, all the attractions, the queues are a lot less. The end of the day, Millennium Falcon is a walk-on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed.
And Rise is really close to it at the very, very end of the day. It might be posted 30 minutes. I'm telling you, 5-10, probably walk on in a lot of instances to get there. So that's how I would do that. I do think you need a Lightning Lane for something like Toy Story Mania. I would never do that attraction ever again without one, because
It's brutal.
The queue is, we talked about this with Flight of Passage. I don't care what it's posted. It's either going to be a lot faster, and it's not, or it's going to be a lot longer, which it will be.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Mid-morning, they have us going over to Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster.
You're not going to get those two done in 1 hour.
Nope.
Never going to happen. So they have that from 11 to noon. I don't have a problem with where this is at, though, in the day.
Unless you have Lightning Lane multipass and you've been able to work it really well, but there's no way you're able to work it that well first thing in the morning. First of all, even if you book it in advance, which you do now, you make your three selections in advance. Those are from the same category. You're not going to be able to book both of those at the same time.
They're tier two. So Tower of Terror I would hit for sure. And then, well, I wouldn't.
Would you, Deck? I was about to say.
And then I would single rider.
But if this read Rock and Roller Coaster, was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hitting it.
Okay.
Man, that was so fun at Disneyland this last time. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. It almost gave me hope that I could handle Tower of Terror.
It's as if
almost.
The rides were the same.
Yeah. All right. So for lunch, again, this kind of goes back to this zigzagging. I don't think ChatGPT is taking into account the size of these parks. So back at lunch, they have you, or for lunch, they have you back at Docking Bay 7 there in Galaxy's Edge. Again, if I was just blindly following this, I think there's a lot of zigzagging going on there. And then for the afternoon, they have you doing a lot of shows and attractions. So they have Mickey and Minnie's Runaway, Indiana Jones, and then Beauty and the Beast live stage.
I would skip Beauty and the Beast and go to Frozen instead.
Greed.
Yeah, I'm on
board with
that. I
got no problem with either of those, and they're right next to each other, Indiana Jones and Frozen, as well as Mickey and Minnie's. It's all in the same area. And nowhere in here do I see, there it is, a snack break. I think they're pushing their snack breaks way too late into the afternoon.
Why are they doing the snack breaks at 4 o'clock?
Right before dinner.
Yeah. So
right
3 to
before dinner.
4, they have you back at Galaxy's Edge. Again, just goes to our zigzagging, where you're either building a lightsaber or building a droid.
And note, you actually have to make reservations to do those things in advance.
Yeah. I think this is a fail on ChatGPT, because nowhere did I indicate that we wanted to do a paid experience like this.
Well, and that's the thing, too. And this isn't just a paid experience. A lightsaber is a very expensive paid experience, right? Yeah. 200
This makes
plus.
It seem like it's part of your admission.
And I've never done either of these activities, building the lightsaber or the droid depot, but having gone with our buddy Adam, that is an experience. It is not just, I don't know for certain that it's only an hour, but from what I saw with him, it's a whole production and it's something you want to not rush through. And so only dedicating an hour, if this is on your list of must-do things, which I think for a lot of people it is, only dedicating an hour to it as part of your day would be an unwise decision, in my opinion. I think you make a moment of it and don't rush through it. All right, let's finish out the rest of our afternoon. So they have us at a snack break there at the Creamery, which I've never even heard of, dessert. Milk and Honey Creamery.
I don't know what that is. I don't think... I'm going to look it up.
Indulge in unique frozen treats and sweet delights.
I don't.
Not certain what that is. I would disagree. I would head over to Toy Story Land, get me a little num-num cookie if I'm going to get a snack at Hollywood Studios. And then for your dinner reservation from 5 to 6:30, you got the Hollywood Brown and Derby. Never eaten there.
I've heard it's good.
I've heard good things.
I wonder if the Milk and Honey Creamery is the milk stand.
It might be.
Where you get your blue and green milk.
Yeah.
That's all I can figure.
There you go.
Yeah, because that Milk and Honey Creamery.
There's no such thing as Milk and Honey Creamery.
I don't think they would use the word creamery in a galaxy far away. So,
not at all.
Yeah.
No.
And then for your evening nighttime spectacular, they have you going to Fantasmic. It's the new show. I got no problem with this.
Yeah, it's great. Do it.
Ending up the evening with Fantasmic and then closing out the park with doing some shopping and different activities, different attractions if they're shorter lines. Look, guys, overall, let's just kind of go around the table, give our grade to ChatGPT on this particular. I'd give it a C plus, maybe.
I'm gonna give it a C minus.
Yeah,
it's a D.
Whoa! Yeah.
I was thinking D. I'm like, they got some things right.
It's exactly what I expected it to be. Right, like you could go talk to any inexperienced person, and they could put something together like that for you. It's not going to give you what you need. We have talked about this over and over and over again on this show. Your key to having a successful trip is how you manage your expectations. And this itinerary does not help you manage expectations at all.
I totally agree. And I think, again, you have to figure out how your family, and I know if you're a first time goer, it's hard to come to this analysis, but you have to figure out what your family can handle and what your family can't handle, right?
Yeah, if you've got a lot of moody, emotional people in your group, you need to actually probably plan for more breaks during the day.
And I mean, what you're not accounting for is just unknowns, right? You never know when your child is going to have that meltdown. You never know when you're going to have that meltdown, right? Like,
and you will. Everyone does.
Yeah. It's unavoidable. It is unavoidable, no matter how much you think you can. The only other thing I would add is build in, you mentioned this before, breaks in the parks, but actually I would build in an actual break day. I think this schedule would be a very tiring schedule. You would want a vacation from your vacation by the time you got home after 4 days of this, in my opinion.
And I think to your point, Randy, if you're going to use some sort of AI ChatGPT to help you plan your vacation, be really specific with the prompts. I just real quickly typed in adjust itinerary for two kids under the age of 12, and it starts spitting out all those kid rides that you missed with the teenagers, right? So be as specific as possible to if you want ChatGPT to help you.
Let me just make a plug here again for connecting with an experienced travel agent. You know, sometimes in life we say you get what you pay for. When it comes to the travel agent, that's not true because you don't pay for that. And that's the best part of it is Disney pays a commission to your travel agent to put together the best trip they can for you. You know, you may not get better prices, but you'll get a better experience, right? The prices are the prices. That's the thing about a Disney experience. The prices are the prices. But they'll know when you can take advantage of special offers that the company is putting out. Some people want to say, well, I think I'm going to do it myself because they think they're saving themselves a buck. But really, you're not, because it doesn't cost you anything extra to have a good experienced travel agent. And it will save you in the long run with your lack of experience, with the frustration that comes, with the inability to cope in the moment of when something's not potentially going right. Like, just connect yourself with someone who really knows. I will say not all travel agents are equal, right? Take your time when you're trying to select one to select someone who really seems to know their stuff, someone who themselves has a lot of experience in the parks, have experienced it in many different ways. I'm not trying to knock anyone, you know, particular. I'm not thinking of anybody at all. But, you know, if you are going on an adult's trip and the agent you're talking to has only ever been with their young children, you're not going to get the same type of feedback you're looking for. You want to talk to someone who has some pretty good experience of, hey, this is how you put together an adult trip, right? And vice versa. But take your time, do your diligence. You'll have a much better experience if you're able to get an itinerary that will help you manage your expectations throughout the day and the expectations of your party, because it is the most magical place on earth.
All right. Thanks for listening in. We appreciate it. We'd love to hear your feedback. Go ahead and give us a like and a follow on all of our social media accounts, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. What is your favorite day or favorite activities as you go to Disney World? Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.